Hey friends, Josh and Matthew here.
Yeah, day 7, here we go.
Excited to continue on this journey as we walk down the trail, continue our descent into the valley of the Grand Canyon. I think it's a great time just to describe for you the scene. And Matthew and I got to experience this. It's just such a beautiful place. You get down at this point, we're near the bottom of the canyon, and this is where the creek goes through, the Bright Angel Creek. And we'll follow that all the way through for miles and miles until it connects with the Colorado River. I remember one of my favorite things of the hike was crossing all of the different bridges that go from side to side of the creeks.
Yeah, I love that too. We were obviously working really hard and we had a lot of miles ahead of us, but it was really important just to take some time in these moments just to sit and to listen and to look around and recognize the beauty around us. There really was pretty much nobody else on the trail at the time that we did it. And so we just want to invite you into that right now. Picture yourself in this moment and just quiet your heart, quiet everything around you. And let's just take a minute right now to take some deep breaths and to just take everything in right now.
Today we have a very special guest. Jeff Lucas is an international author, speaker, and broadcaster. His passion is to equip the church with biblical, practical teaching marked by vulnerability and humor. Jeff has been privileged to address over 1,000 conferences and churches worldwide, and he is a best-selling author of 32 books. He has a powerful word for us today as we look at the story of Elijah. After Jeff, we'll take a moment to worship and reflect, so let's get right into it. Take a listen.
Well, I'm excited to be a part of this 24-day rim-to-rim journey. And in reflecting on all of this, I'd like to look at actually a 40-day trek, one that happened thousands of years ago. The prophet Elijah was the man involved in this particular episode. And he went not rim to rim, but he went from the mountaintop of Mount Carmel, where he was triumphing over the power of the prophets of Baal in the power of the Holy Spirit that was operating through him. And yet 6 weeks later, a long wilderness trek took him into a cave of depression and despair. I'd like to read from 1 Kings chapter 19. As we go to that passage, let me say that I identify with this so much personally, because during my Christian journey, I've experienced at least 2 significant bouts of clinical depression. One quite early on in my ministry, and then I have to say that I found the whole COVID season incredibly challenging in terms of my own mental health as well. Of course, when you're a leader, the reality is that you just have to carry on. But one truth is this. It's vital that we know that while we might need to keep going with our everyday lives, keep trekking forward, we can be authentic and vulnerable about all that we're experiencing. And Elijah certainly was honest about how he felt in his relationship with the Lord. We read in 1 Kings 19, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword." Now that refers back to the Mount Carmel experience. "So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life like that of one of them.'" And here's the part that really cheers me up, because I almost expect Elijah to stand up, headbutt a tambourine, speak some words of victory, sing a worship song, and just get right on with the task that God had given him. But here's what we actually read. "Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.' Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep." And in the unfolding story, a breakfast-cooking angel shows up and nourishes him. He continues the journey until he reaches a place called Horeb. And then God encounters him with questions. What are you doing here, Elijah? And actually, in his response, Elijah shows that he's locked. He's locked in a prison, a mindset fed by his despair. He repeats the same speech twice over, but the headline is this: I have had enough. And it might be that in your journey you're feeling exactly the same way. You've just run out of steam, out of energy, out of faith. Elijah felt just like that, and I have to say I did too. I was a pastor when depression came looking for me, and I have to say that back in those days I felt rather uncomfortable about admitting it. Vulnerability was not really seen to be a strength at that point. Christian leaders were supposed to have it all together, and there was this irrational sense of shame that I felt. And also, some of my Christian friends weren't that helpful either. They told me to just pull myself together, to get over it. I think they'd previously been employed by Job. But I found this story of Elijah so helpful, strengthening, encouraging. And I'm really praying today that you will feel exactly the same. You see, the Bible doesn't hide the reality that believers can feel despair, they can feel depression. It's not a secret at all. Jeremiah felt total despair and expressed to God that he felt abandoned by him. And then Jonah was angry with God for the very same reason, although, of course, he was the one running from God. If we look through the Psalms, we repeatedly hear reflections like, God, where have you gone? How long? And then we look at the Apostle Paul, who did such incredible work and gave us a third of the New Testament. And yet we read about his life. He talks about despairing of life. I believe that when we think about the Garden of Gethsemane scene, where Jesus goes there with his trusted inner circle, I believe that we are seeing the Son of God in despair and depression. If we struggle to think like about that, let's realize that when it says that he was overwhelmed, the word that's used there is the word bario, from which we get our word pressure or barometer, to be pressed down, to be depressed. Elijah felt ashamed because he'd run from his mission and because he felt so low. And I can so relate to that. I felt like I was supposed to have victory, that somehow my feelings of sadness were evidence of a lack of faith. Elijah says, I'm no better than my ancestors. Well, of course, whoever said that he was. Shame can strike us when we struggle, and we feel not only bad, but we feel bad because we feel bad. Sometimes unresolved guilt about something we've done in the past can contribute to that shame, and we define ourselves by our worst moments. But the beautiful truth, one that's being celebrated in this 24-day journey, is that God doesn't abandon us when it feels like the heat of the sun pressure is on our backs and in our hearts, weighing us down. God sends a breakfast-cooking angel to Elijah. And I think there's an important point there as well, because Elijah needed physical sustenance. He needed food. He needed water. And one of the things that we can forget when we feel low is just the practical need for healthy food, for exercise that's going to help us to actually feel greater strength for the day. A breakfast-cooking angel appeared to Elijah. And then, of course, that reminds me of John chapter 21, where Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, appears on a beach. His weary disciples have been trying to catch fish all night, and they've come up with nothing. What does he do? Well, he doesn't actually summon them to an immediate teaching session or prayer meeting, but he cooks them breakfast. There's tenderness, there's practicality in that. It speaks to us of the truth about who God is. He's moved by our struggles. It also speaks to us of our need to take care of practical details that we might feel tempted to ignore. And then one of the things that I discovered in my journey is that I lost perspective. Everything seemed grey. Everything seemed tinged with despair. And I lost the ability to be grateful. I've actually come to the conclusion that the discipline of thankfulness, of gratitude, is so important for our mental health. When we constantly focus on what is negative, frankly, what is negative becomes exaggerated in our own thinking, the more that strongholds are built in our minds. And so Elijah loses perspective. He actually complains that he's the only one left in Israel who is faithful to God. But let's think about that. Back on Mount Carmel, the people of Israel had knocked down the altars of Baal and had confronted and actually killed the Baal prophets. They'd built an altar to the Lord. And then God spoke to Elijah and said, "No, I've got 7,000 left in Israel who are being faithful to me." When we struggle with despair, we don't see things as they are. The French novelist Anne Nin said, "We don't see things as they are, we see things as we are." Perhaps one thing to practically do today is to bring our perspective to God about what we're seeing in our lives, and then asking the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Truth, to bring clarity, focus, even revelation to us in the things that we think we're seeing straight, but actually our focus, our perspective might be totally and completely wrong. I also notice in the story of Elijah, and it's true for me as well, that God called him to obedience in this difficult season. God said, "Go back the way you came." You know, often we celebrate those who move into brand new areas of serving God. They're the ones who venture out, step out in faith, like Peter, who gets out of the boat and walks on the water. They are the heroes that we tend to elevate. But I do believe that there is true value. There's something amazing about simply being faithful when we feel faithless. When we realize that our emotions are not the barometer of our spirituality. When we determine that we're going to trust God and not ignore those feelings, that's highly dangerous. Not ignore the practicalities. It may well be that if you're struggling, for example, with depression, it might be that a visit to your physician, perhaps medication, would be extremely helpful for you at this moment. We are not called to pretend, to fake it, to give the impression that this is going to just go away. But Elijah's story is that as he took that 6-week trek from the mountaintop of Carmel to the cave of despair, God didn't abandon him. He whispered to him. He provided for him. And he gently led him back to that place of service and usefulness to the people of Israel. Wherever you are today in your trek, I pray that God's strength will be yours, that his peace will visit your sleepless nights, that his perspective will be yours too, so that you'll realize that what you see is not necessarily altogether the truth. May God be with you, and may God take you forward. God bless you.
More than I can bear, and the burden is more than I can take. When fear has built a prison wall around my heart, you show me that the key is in your hand. And I know, like a current in the ocean, I may not see, but you're moving underneath. And I don't have to know the answer, 'cause I'll find you in the question. I won't focus on the giant, I'll find you working through the storm. The darkness is whispering its lies, and the shame is telling me to hide. And when anxiety is hanging on to every thought, you tell me my whole life is in your hands. Speak peace, be still and know. So I speak peace, be still my soul. Oh,
God, we thank you that you never leave us. We just take a second right now to be still and to know that you are God. We speak your peace over our situation. We thank you that even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the chaos, you are moving and we can find your perfect peace. We bring our weakness, anxiety, and our struggles before you because you're a God who cares and who is present with us. Amen. Well, you've made it a whole week on this journey. Great work. We hope these first 7 days have impacted you as much as they've impacted us. We encourage you to keep going. We have many more powerful days ahead. We'll see you tomorrow for day 8 of the Altar in the Valley experience.